B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap of the play fake. He dances in the pocket, throws it out to Edelman. Ducks under a defender. Got away from one, but then as he hit the deck, he lost it. The ball scooped up by Humphrey, who's running down the right side, holding the ball out in his right hand. Trotting to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, and then stopping to step across the goal line. His second scoop and score in as many weeks.
Rejoin now, boy.
Noontime hour.
Yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand. Patriots go on the road last night and they lose their first game of the year. Did the Patriots defense get exposed, though? Are they a fraud team?
No.
First test of the year, they lose.
No.
They couldn't stop the
Ravens. I think they got exposed. You know, they attempted to adjust. They did adjust for a while. And then the big thing was you gave up the third down and a fourth down conversion, and it killed you.
First
Absolutely
drive in the second
you.
Half.
Most important play of the game was the first third down of that third quarter for the Ravens. You went blitz zero. And so I think you started to think, okay, we're starting to get to them, which they did. They had three down linemen. They started with three bigs. Once they got gas, they went to two. And that sort of settled some things down. Your offense got it going. You got it to 17-13. It came out to start that that second half against the Raiders and against the Ravens, and Lamar hits him on that post corner with the tight end on Brooks. And to me, that was the big one. That gave him every bit of confidence in the passing game because that was really the first true, real pass that, you know, drop back, throw it, read it, and get it to the guy with the best matchup. Because everything else other than that was scripted. I'm sorry. It is. You cut the field in half. You go off play fake. You get 2-on-1 on the corner. And you're either throwing it to the guy in the flat or you're throwing it to the dragon tight end. Tight ends killed you in this game. They have three functioning tight ends. They're not great. They're good, though. Good tight ends. Good size. Physical. They block. They catch the ball. They go up and fight for it. I like their tight ends.
The three stops came in the second quarter for the Patriots. Punt, fumble, punt.
They're big.
Three drives in a row for the Ravens.
Yeah, beyond the fumble, though, the punts were good. You stopped them.
Twice. They forced the Ravens to punt
Stuffed
twice in the game.
Right. You're bottling them up. I thought Simon did a good job extending some plays to the sideline. Van Noy's attempting to do it. Hightower started to feel it. You know, you were jamming there for a while. So,
because it was touchdown, field goal, touchdown, then those three stops.
Yeah.
The end of half, it doesn't really count because they got the ball with under 10 seconds left to go there. Right? I mean, that doesn't matter. Touchdown, touchdown, and then the end of the game when they got the ball back with a minute to go. So, there was no stopping the Ravens in this game. Patriots got some stops in the second quarter, and that was it. And the Patriots defense really just couldn't stop them. They just weren't able to do it. They're a bad matchup. The Ravens are a terrible matchup. If they were to meet again, I would expect slightly different results. But I don't know how different the results would be. I think if the Patriots are to meet this team again, they're going to need to score more points than what they did.
Yeah.
And the offense is going to need to perform better than what it did, even though we did see glimpses of hope there when they did have that Edelman drive that he fumbled on and then the drive that happened after that.
They were moving the ball fine.
The back-to-back
receptions. They didn't do it consistently, though, in the game.
They didn't do it consistently, but like when they got the personnel grouping, and the Ravens talked about it, too, in the postgame. They were like, yeah, we were gassed. We couldn't stop them. Couldn't stop them in that tempo.
Which is great. And the back-to-back receptions Edelman and White were really nice. But there were a number of people in the postgame last night who felt encouraged by the way they played there for a stretch. And as you said, getting the Ravens defense gassed and, you know, thought that was cool. I said, I'm supposed to be encouraged because they figured it out for half a game. You know, you got out there, you went out there and got stuffed to start the game when it was imperative to have a fast start and couldn't score at the end either. I don't know.
I think it's more people
encouraged by the fact that the offense played half the game last night. I'll give him credit.
The first 10 points are on real short fields.
The head coach,
gifted.
The coach came out. He wasn't that defeated. He's like, we competed. We attempted to compete. There's guys competing out there. And I think it's more of the people that are trained around here going back to the Kansas City game where Bill said, show me something in the second half. And he quit. There's something there. This game felt like it was going to be 34-0 in a matter of like this. I looked at Bob, it was 17-7. Like, we're in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they quit.
No,
there was no quitting that team last night.
I'm telling you, man, they dropped their nuts in that. And just, that will help them moving forward.
They were overmatched.
There's something to fall back on there. And it's not necessarily against the Ravens. You're going another tough. I think it's a tougher environment next week. Philly's tougher. Worse fans. Nastier fans. Louder.
Yep.
That was loud last night. It'll be louder in Philly. Philly doesn't like you and you don't like them. Lane Johnson running his freaking mouth already. Gonna have some fun at the link in 2 weeks. Or is he? I thought the culture was bad again down there. Is he going up the roller coaster or down? What turn are the rides he on?
Looks like he's going up.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going up the roller coaster.
Okay, getting some guys back healthy, yeah. Start to have fun. It's amazing when you have your guys, how you get some guys back. You have some success, huh?
But there's also a couple of things that I disagree with today in terms of what people are saying about the game. Number one, this is not like the Wildcat game. The Ravens brought to the Patriots what the Patriots should have expected to see, and they couldn't stop the Ravens. Could not stop them. So there were no major surprises here. So that, to me, is a bad argument that it was like a wild card game. It was like the Wildcat game in 2008. Sorry, doesn't apply. You knew what the Ravens were going to try and do to you, and they did it. They executed better than the Patriots did. That's just a fact of last night's game. The other part is when you're looking at this game, you can say, well, the only reason the Patriots lost is that, you know, they shot themselves in the foot too many times. Disagree. I would disagree with that because out of the gate, the Ravens were committing mistakes as well, and that's how the Patriots put their first 10 points on the board. So as much as you made mistakes to turn what would have been a Justin Tucker field goal into a touchdown on the first drive, and Julian Edelman's fumble directly led to points, and Dante Hightower offsides led to points. I mean, there are mistakes that went both ways. And if you watch that game, I mean, the Ravens took it to them. They got beat by the better team last night. And I think that's why the Patriots said as much after the game. I don't think this was just about the Patriots' mistakes last night. It's a bad matchup. The Ravens are a bad matchup. You want to see these guys again, so?
I don't.
No, thank you. Take a hard pass.
That's a different animal
on this team.
It's a different animal you got to deal with.
Lou is in Rhode Island today. What's up, Lou?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? First of all, I am a Ravens fan. I'm from Baltimore, and I'm happy to see the Ravens win. But, you know, I've always respected the Patriots since I'm living up here. When the Ravens are out of it, I always like to see the Patriots win. But I think this is the best thing that could have happened to the Patriots, really. I think, like, riding along, thinking you're a great team based on playing, you know, the quarterbacks and the teams that they've been playing up until now is sort of like deluding yourself. I think you've got to get ready, and I think it's a good thing that Belichick is going to have to get ready to play some better teams coming up in the future and even getting into the playoffs.
Yep.
I think what the Ravens were able to do, now every other team can see what the Patriots' weaknesses are. The blocking is bad. We don't have Gronkowski, not only for pass receiving, but for blocking. You lost both of your fullbacks. The blocking's not that great. The defense can be run on, but you got to execute. The Ravens, and I have to say this about Lamar, he's able to execute where all these other guys like Darnold and all these and Allen and all these other ones weren't able to do anything. I think the Ravens were just ready for him. And also, over the years, the Ravens and the Patriots have had classic games. You've won some. We've won some. Yep. And I just think it's a great, great matchup. It's a great rivalry. I think it's just something that Belichick has to start making some adjustments to.
I think it's your lone rivalry right now. I really do.
Stuff there. I think it's because they have a coach.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
It's a good football game. It's a good football game. Back and forth. A little bit of a heavyweight type fight. And I know you mentioned Allen. You mentioned Darnold and those guys. Can those guys make something positive out of a negative play? See, I don't think they can. That's what Jackson brings to the table. When something's not there, don't screw it up and just throw it up. Now, what they got to fix is they got to continue to protect him. I think the throws to the side are good for him. You know, the flat, the pick play, the natural pick play, tight end in the flat, back in the flat. It's quick, boom, ball's out. When he's got to sit in that pocket and start looking over the middle, all of a sudden, his arm angle drops below pad level. I don't know why he does it because he has such a freaking strong arm. He didn't need to do that. But like that throw to the tight end, boy, on that backside, ball's over the top, nice throw, good form. Yeah, they got to clean things up with him in the pocket. If he could do that, he's going to be extremely dangerous.
More on this game last night and more of your calls at 617-779-0985. What'd you think of Brady after the game last night, Zoe? Felt very short. Very short. Where's his mind at after this loss for the Patriots? We'll talk a little bit about Tom Brady coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady, 42 years old. You know, he said he wants to play till he's 45. Told us last night, you know what? I feel good enough to play five more years. We'll see.
Brady seemed annoyed after the game last night. Did you get that sense?
Oh, yeah.
What's got him upset?
I think it's finally they got in rhythm, but there's just so many mistakes that they made. Like, he can't control what Julian did. I mean, Julian's first fumble in 3 years. That guy doesn't do that all the time. We have a drop or two? Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like we're playing a game now?
Like, we got him. We got him up. We got Sanu up and running. Get nothing from your. It's frustrating. You get nothing from your tight ends. You know, you're not really getting the protection you need. See, here's what I think really, really bugs him is if he's directing traffic the way he was a lot last night. This week nine, I think, was a big Brady game, meaning from a mental aspect, you're directing traffic. Now, we're going to give you the base. If you need to move people from what you see, you do it. Like, I think 17 I had. I'd do little check marks. I got 17 times he changed the play, the line of scrimmage. That's where he's turning. He's directing with the signs, this, that. You know what? We're going to stop. We're going to redirect Mike. Because there were times Karras is looking through the legs. He's ready to snap. And Brady's like, hold, wait. So when he does that and he knows he should be protected, that's where you get pissed off. Because then it's about, you know, we didn't mentally screw this up. We're just getting beat. That shouldn't happen. Shouldn't have a free defender here coming in my face. Right here. Shouldn't have it. So when he directs traffic and gets it protected, that's the ones that bug him. Interception bugged him. I think there's frustration from the second down throw to Watson that forced him into that. Because he took a shot on that when he released it, the one Earl Thomas got. And it goes back to what I said earlier in the show. His interceptions have been bad interceptions. You know, it's not like, oh, I see what he did. There was a tight window there, and we tried to squeeze it in. You come across from almost every interception, scratch your head like, what's he looking at there? Because all I saw was some Thomas take off. He just said, F it. I'm throwing it up to Sanu. Go make a play, kid. Because you know what? You've got 10 grabs in this game. I trust you. I think Sanu earned his trust last night. So, I mean, there's something to build off there, man. You know, you said it Friday. Manuel Sanders, you spoke. Sanu, it's your turn. And he did.
He did. I thought he responded. He had a good second game.
That's a tough environment. Sometimes you get these guys from teams like Atlanta, dome teams, receiver teams, where maybe they want to get out of bounds. No. This guy lowers his shoulder. He's strong.
He had that big second down catch in the red zone.
Smart.
Where he came back to the line of scrimmage.
You know why?
Eluded the defenders and picked up the first down. It was nice.
That's a pro thing. You know why? Because he cut the route short.
In Atlanta.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, they're always sort of rounding out those rounds, aren't they?
Hey, we're going to bend you here. Get in that zone and just bend it.
Yeah.
No, sense of urgency. He read pressure. He knew Brady wanted to get rid of it. Cut it off.
That should have came a little natural.
Came back underneath. And boom, cut up inside.
Those routes.
I'm like, holy Jesus. It's like he's been here for 10 years.
Yeah. Huh. He's like, I could sort of do that. I did something similar to that in Atlanta, but not because I was actually responding to anything. Just because we like to round out the routes. Like, woo.
Crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
I can run a route like that.
I mean,
draw the line. I'll do it.
I think when you move the ball too, as they did, and it's, again, red zone frustrations.
Yeah.
Hey, they got to fix this red zone offense. They need to get that left tackle back. I have no clue what they're going to do with tight end. I'm holding out hope.
I think they'll be okay. I think they will.
You mentioned the tight end. Collinsworth's mentioned the tight end.
Oh, what do you think? Someone's talking about the tight end?
I don't know. Tight end's a top of mind this week all of a sudden.
Oh, boy.
Anybody been on TV?
Well, see, this is the what do you mean? Who's on TV?
I've been seeing Gronkowski on TV lately.
Oh, here we go again. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that.
I'm not saying it.
No, he was at some cycling thing inside yesterday.
Oh, did he?
Yes. This is what I was going to say about Brady, though. This is what happens now after the... So the Patriots lose yesterday. I don't think it's going to derail their season. I don't think any of us think it's going to derail their season. Right? No one? Anyone here thinking that? They're going to fall apart now? Okay, good.
No. And I did. I didn't think they were going to go undefeated either.
Yeah, I didn't think that either.
No.
Same. So everything's on track for me. And they had bad losses last year and they recovered from it. They can have a bad loss this year and recover from it. It was a bad matchup last night. But now on the offensive side of things, this is a trend. This is not something new like it was for the defense. The offense, their issues, and I shouldn't even say it was a bad night for the offense. I don't even know if I would term it as bad. It just wasn't great.
No, they're in rhythm.
They had their best drive of the year in response to the fumble by Edelman. I thought that drive was great. How do you not get pumped up about that drive?
Big boy drive.
But Brady, when you hear him after the game, you sort of start to wonder, is Brady just mad about this game? Or is Brady mad about everything?
No, I think it's time.
You've got to sort of play that game now.
No, well, it's,
you hear all these things, and you're like, is Brady mad just about tonight's game against the Ravens?
Well, it's,
or is Brady pissed about not having a tight end?
It's this.
Is Brady pissed about Ben Watson being the only guy they have on the roster for a tight end? Not that he has anything against Ben Watson. I think he likes Ben Watson a lot. But is it, guys, we need more than just Ben Watson.
There'll be times you hit Watson on that short drag underneath. I'm like, why don't you do more of this?
Does anyone else feel that way?
Well, but 2 weeks ago we were told he's accepted what they have and he's going to move forward.
Do you believe it, though?
He's living in the now, he told Jim Gray,
Do you
right?
believe it? Do you fully believe it? I don't know.
I think last night, if anything, if you had any doubt, last night should give him a little kick in the ass, say, we can function in this three wide. We can do this. If you can keep Burkhead healthy. No, I'm serious. You think I'm funny?
No, I just think it's funny because I know how much you love.
No, every single one of those guys needs to be healthy.
Wake
because
up.
Anybody
yes.
else that goes
That's
in, he doesn't
key.
Trust. That's
the
problem.
Key because he loves Burkhead and White. And why? But why are you in three wide? Because you're nickel runs. You run the ball nickel. If you find out now you can't run in regular and you can't run in two tights, you run a nickel. They've done it before. They made a living on it 1 year with Danny freaking Woodhead. Okay? So last night on the road, tough environment. You had guys that came to play. He knew that. He did credit guys. He said, we had guys out there making plays and busting their ass.
Hasn't this been a drastic change offensively from all the different personnel groupings they used in a game over the course of the game to last night? One. You know what? We're going to dumb this down to be as simple as we can possibly be. We're just going to use one.
Well, it's simple
which
because they used one.
Which goes back to what
one.
We talked about with Phil, which is,
this is
stop trying
formation.
To do what you want to do and just try and do what you can be.
That's my
right?
point. Get him back from under center. Let him see things. Let him point direct. This is my old Bledsoe point from the Minnesota game.
No.
Seriously.
They ran this formation.
What's your comfort level? What do you like? What do you want to hit? You want to get a freaking quarterback in rhythm?
Just get something going.
Let him call something. And I thought you had two new screens that were completely scripted differently, which is a credit to McDaniels.
The one that he threw high to Dorsett? Was that one of them?
No, not the slip screen there. Oh. I'm talking about the one to James White where you had pressure and he just, like, basketball passed it over top tackle.
Yeah.
And White took it down inside the five. That was a good run. That was about a 20-yard run. And the Burkhead on third and forever. Burkhead got that, and that's why I said, so at Hardy's point, well, he might go for it here. Third and 27, all of a sudden turns into fourth and nine. Think about it.
You got to run this formation the rest of the year. You got to start mixing in Myers and Harry because you have no depth.
Yeah.
You have four receivers and three of them play the entire game.
And I do think that they didn't want to throw
What happened to Philip Dorsett last night?
He got dinged early. And then,
But he was out there.
One snap. He missed one snap.
Yeah. He missed one snap. Yeah. Where was he?
He got dinged early. Brady tried to go to him on one fade stop, gave him the glare.
Was he not getting open? Was he just covered? Was Brady not looking his way?
A couple quick hitches. No, that was a new Edelman night.
Was Brady writing him off?
No.
Okay.
No, because this is typical Dorsett.
Maybe you know start. What's going to happen?
We did this at the end
you
of last year.
What's going to happen
in Kansas City.
Couple of days.
Kansas City, boom.
The coach's film is going to hit the web,
yep.
And people are going to go digging, and they're going to find every play that Dorsett was open on, and you're going to see that. You're going to see if you're going to find out if he was open on plays or not.
Well, but Edelman was open, too, and he still forced it to Sanu a couple times.
Yeah, the Greg Bedards of the world are going to find that tape, and they're going to say, look at this play. Here.
They ran double cross.
Dorsett was open, and Brady wouldn't look at him.
They ran double crossers. Sanu on the right.
I don't
Edelman
know if it's
left.
True. I'm just saying if it's true.
He threw it twice to Sanu on a drag, right to left, and Edelman was wide-ass open twice. I guarantee you, damn, I wish I had those two.
Second play of the game, you said Edelman was wide open over the middle of the field. He threw it deep pass to Sanu, right?
So?
No, checking your phone.
So?
What's that?
Jim's hi, hello. Hi.
What's that, Jim?
Deep pass to Sanu.
Oh, frustrating. Frustrating. I think that one there is...
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, with the pick?
Indeed.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Two thumbs up on that one.
Jim, yes.
Sorry, I won't ask you a question anymore while we're on the air.
Sorry, Jim.
I was efforting something.
But, Jim, the first one of the game?
To answer your question.
I mean, the first one passed to Sanu?
We were driving from Foxborough back here to Dorchester, and Zoe said Edelman is wide open in the middle of the field, and he still forced it downfield to the Sanu.
Yes, you said that on the broadcast. We couldn't see it.
On the pick or on
on the highway.
On the pick or on the first long pass that you tried in the first quarter?
In the first quarter.
Okay. See, I wouldn't even deem that frustrating. I'm just deem that, what are you doing? What is this how your bread is buttered all of a sudden? Going deep downfield. And by the way, the pick, that was reminiscent of the Lions game last year. Do you remember the last pick he threw in the Lions game where he's like, you're not going to give me anyone to throw to? Fine. Yeah. Just throw it up there and see who catches it. See? Not even one of our guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was some of it. Like, screw it. Go see if you can make a play. There's nothing here.
Which to me, that was obviously more frustrating because it was a pick, but also because that game was 20-10 at that point. It was 20-10 with time. Like, what are you doing? You're throwing in the towel here on that?
Zoe mentioned Gronk. We'll get to the latest report on Rob Gronkowski coming up next. And Sounds of Sunday at 12:50. Don't miss that. New
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sports Hub.
New report on Rob Gronkowski yesterday. Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio had that report. That report being this. The chances of Rob Gronkowski making a return to the NFL were 40% in July. Now they're down to 20%, according to a source. That source of Mike Florio, you can speculate on who that is.
Drew Rosenhaus.
And so... that's now at 20%. It's been sliced in half from where it was in the summer months.
I like how Rob Gronkowski's comeback status is like the oil life on your dash.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 40%. Now it's down to 20%.
You're going to need an oil changer pretty soon.
I'm with you on this. I found these reports of percentages on what was the positive. They're absolutely asinine and ridiculous.
Well, there's a very complicated calculus that goes on when determining the percentage of making a return.
Much like Bill Belichick analytics. Yeah. I thought about it, and then I came up with a number. And then I decided.
20. Put it in.
20.
0.
20.
Lucky for us, they always come out to standard numbers like 80 or 50 or, in this case, 20. It's never 38.
Well, he rounded up. It was actually 19.62, and he said, nah, the hell with it. Let's just go with an even 20.
I kind of like 24 is a good number. 24, like you're starting, like it's getting going, 24%. But like, it's really not going to happen. Yeah.
So that's what Florio has it at yesterday. Let's do this. Everybody, all of New England, let's not bother talking about the money anymore because the Patriots could make the money work.
Right.
Without him taking a pay cut.
Yeah, but then you got to cut Isidore Lacoste. That's tough.
So we don't need to talk about the money and whether or not he could fit. They could figure that out. All right? And they could. The longer the season goes on, the easier it actually gets.
Yeah. So he has to decide by week 13.
Yes.
So.
And that time is coming soon. So
TikTok.
This really is not about money, not about fitting him under the salary cap. This is about one thing. Do you believe Rob Gronkowski wants to play football again?
I do.
I love you for not coming off that stance. I love it.
I'm harder on that than Murray is on his Garoppolo.
Is that an informed opinion you have? Is that from just, you know, talking to people? I'm not saying you've talked to Gronk or anyone tied to him. Just the sense you get from people.
It's an opinion with knowledge.
Other people's opinions.
Yeah, it's opinion with knowledge that I value.
Because you can get influenced by other people's opinions who might be closer to it.
Yeah.
Without direct knowledge.
Yeah, and this has nothing to do with people close to him and his family or his representation.
Right, I'm not saying it does.
Jazzing up interest. Yeah. Yep.
Have you come across anybody tied to the team or even loosely affiliated with the team that thinks like, oh yeah, he could come back? Just open to the idea.
I've just been always told there's always a chance.
All right.
There's always a chance.
A chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
Tigers are tigers, man. They have their stripes, right?
I know. But there's also this, though. How long would it take him, having not played football since the Super Bowl, the first weekend in February?
2 weeks.
2 weeks to go from not having played football.
To get out there and function and to give you something.
9 months.
Yeah, yeah.
To go to playing full speed in an NFL game. Isn't that a lot to ask?
It's a lot to ask. It's not like he's getting 66 reps. I don't think I'd balance it. I mean, ease him into it, and then you ramp him up for the playoffs.
Wouldn't you be pretty fearful of that leading to an injury for Rob Gronkowski? And not you, but wouldn't Rob Gronkowski be
every
fearful
time he takes the field, yes.
of that being a situation where he would be more susceptible to an injury than he would be otherwise if he had a full off-season workout program and full training camp building up to the regular season? I think that's going to factor in there somewhere too for him. And I look at the way he is, Instagram, all the things, all the projects he's involved in. He just looks like a guy who's having a good time.
He always has a good time.
Enjoying his life.
Had a bad day.
Without football. And his people, I believe, are saying, yeah, the thing's going down. Unless they're just setting it up for an epic announcement.
How's that CBD thing been going?
Good, as far as we can tell.
Good.
They just struck a deal with Gillette Stadium.
There we go.
To advertise at Patriot Place.
Nice. Put some on my back.
Outside the stadium. Can't do it inside the stadium, but outside the stadium.
I think he probably wants to play football again, too, though. He just doesn't want to be hurt. He doesn't want to do all the things that's going to be required to get back on the field. Doesn't want to attend practice. All those things that make life so enjoyable now, first and foremost being pain-free, which he says to be, and I hope he is, all that goes away if you want to go out there and play football again. Now you start to hurt again every day. That's what he doesn't want. I understand that's what we mean when we say play football again, but so why isn't he? Because he doesn't want all the other stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, I think
love Sundays. Who doesn't?
Could go either way.
Right.
It could go either way where, like, I mean, obviously, his legendary status, like his legacy, it's done. It's great. He's best tight end ever play.
Loves Sunday, hates Monday.
He could accelerate that, get people talking about him again, that type of glorious fashion, have a big input into what they do and their success. Or, like Cardi said, go out there and get hurt third play and jeopardize your health later in life. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, cured his concussions and CTE. You heard that.
It's
right from the horse's mouth.
That's what he claims.
Well,
erroneously.
The CBD fixed his CTE.
Erroneous claims.
He did that himself. Good to go. So he said, right?
He also told Vic Carucci that he's all set with football. Oh. He also did an interview up in Toronto saying he hasn't thought about returning at all.
See, when he says things like he's not going to play football, that's why it drops down to 20%.
They factor that in.
I feel bad for him. It doesn't matter what he says. I really do. It
doesn't matter. I'm not playing football. Doesn't matter. You're going to play.
I feel bad for him. Okay. He can't give you an honest answer, right? Because nobody believes him. One way or the other. Yeah.
Week 13, it's going to be either 0% or 100%.
Wait, you can't
one
say,
or the other.
You can't say nobody. I believe him. I believe Rob Gronkowski. I take him at his word.
I believe I can fly.
I do. I believe him. He might change his mind, but I believe that he's being honest, and I think he feels pretty strongly about the things he has said. Yep. He's enjoying his pain-free life. Sounds of Sunday are coming up right after this.
Nice. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Lamar Jackson takes the knee for the final time. And the Ravens savoring this win over the Patriots. 37 points tonight, including a defensive score against a Patriots defense that came in allowing only 7.6 points per game.
Sounds, oh, sounds
of Sunday.
Sounds, oh, sounds
of Sunday.
Sounds, oh, sounds
of Sunday.
Sounds, oh, sounds.
Jim knew the song. Zoe didn't know it.
No clue.
Beetle, you should know this one.
I don't remember this
I
song.
I like your voice in it, though.
Mad Season. Kind of like a 90s borderline supergroup.
Yeah, they had members from
Alice in Chains. I want to say Screaming Trees. Not sure it was.
Breakfast at Tiffany's?
No, nope.
Yep,
nope.
That's it.
Nope.
That's it.
Let's get into the pocket, shall we?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. D.
Oh, Mike McCready was in that band?
Pearl Jam Mike McCready.
Yeah. And Mark Lanigan, Screaming
quarterback
Trees.
At Penn State.
There we go. All right, Sounds of Sunday, gentlemen.
Where we start?
I don't know. Hardy will tell us.
Want me to tell you? All right. We begin on Saturday.
Oh.
Saints on the bye. Saints are on the bye. So
on
Drew
the bayou?
Brees. Yes.
I didn't know Brees spoke this way.
Son of a gun, we're going to have big fun on the bayou.
I didn't know Brees spoke this way.
He went back to Purdue to give them a pregame pep talk. Talked what way? You already heard this?
I want to run through a wall.
I haven't heard this.
Where's my DBs? I've never met good DBs that didn't go out there with ultimate confidence. Me as a quarterback, I'm trying to attack you guys at all times. Swagger DBs, that's what I want to see. Linebackers? Hit somebody, man. You want to get this team fired up? You want to create a defining moment? Hit somebody. Wide receivers? Man, make that play. We need you to make that big catch across the middle. Make it, baby, because we're coming at you. Running backs? Man, I love you boys. Man, you got a block. You got a catch. You got a run. You got to tote the rock. Let's see it today. QBs? We throw darts, man. Balls don't touch the ground.
Yeah.
Tight ends? Maybe the best athletes on the field. We ask you to do everything, man. Toughness. You guys epitomize it. Let's see it. O-line, you control the game. You control the game. All times. DNs, I would say I fear you guys. Make them fear you. D-tackles, man, you hold strong. You hold the fort down. That's your job, man. Every time you step on the field, you have to play this game with energy, emotion, and excitement. Energy, emotion, and excitement. One play at a time, because you don't know what play is going to be the most important play in the game. Will be the defining moment for the game. If you're with me, give me two claps. You're with me, give me two claps. Let's go.
Wow.
I dig him more. I mean, I dug him, obviously.
By the way, Purdue went on to win, beating Nebraska. 31-27.
Kick their ass. I didn't know he spoke that way.
What was the line on that game?
I don't know, but Purdue hasn't had a good season, so good for them to get a win.
Over-under was 58. Pushed.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Gamblers.
But what was the line, Jim?
Well, Nebraska's got a better record than they do.
I think Nebraska's favored.
Nice. Okay. Well, then it worked.
And their quarterback got hurt in that game. They had to go to the backup.
There was actually a lot more before that, too. So he spoke well. Let's good, go to good motivational speaker.
Love that.
Nice.
Let's go to Chiefs radio.
We throw darts.
This is the game-winning field goal call. Here we go.
Placement is down. Butker's kick is up. And the kick is good. He got it. Butker got it. And the Chiefs have won the game in regulation. Harrison Butker, game winner. Kansas City and 6-3. Never felt so good.
Good call. Really good call.
Great call.
That's a great call. Did you see Andy Reid doing it? He didn't watch.
I did not.
He wouldn't watch.
He wouldn't watch?
He wouldn't watch,
baby.
And then when he was going, when he was going to shake hands with Zimmer, he was just fist pumping.
I can't watch.
Yes, coach our ass off this week. Yes.
You know what takes away from that call? Is the echo off the glass because they don't open
a
the windows.
Crappy box.
Stupid kids.
I'm calling this from my closet. In my house.
Because the windows don't open
they don't
or
open.
They won't. Oh,
they don't.
What's the point?
They're sealed shut.
It's the worst environment in a box to call a game other than Miami.
All right, let's move on to Deshaun Watson, who was kicked in the eye last week.
Right in the eyeball.
Eye poison eye. He talked about what he did to help him get better.
The eye is great. I tell you the key. The key is it was the Popeye spicy chicken sandwiches that I ate this week that helped the eye. So,
how much are you gonna eat forever?
I don't get that whole thing. What is it with
drop
the
that
Popeye
product, man.
Sandwiches?
Get the freebies.
I don't get it.
He's smart. Get the freebies.
One of those things.
Think that guy gonna have to pay anywhere he go down in Houston?
I understand.
Where does he pay
with
though?
One cobra.
He bit me. He bit me in my eye. Oh.
We got to play that. We got to get old jerky boys out. Play that. Oh, my God.
What is... This is a game. We have never done this before, okay? I'm going to play you sound from Mike Tomlin.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I almost said what it was about, Jim. I'm going to play
you sound. About this.
I know. I'm going to play you the sound. You have to guess what it is that he's talking about.
Okay.
Okay? Here we go.
My position doesn't change based on what happens in stadiums here moving forward. We made the right decision. We did the things that we needed to do to preserve the integrity of the game, to safeguard the game in the appropriate ways. It didn't fall in my favor today, such as life.
What is Mike Tomlin talking
about? He's
got
to protect integrity to games.
That's a big part of this.
Has to do with refereeing?
To preserve the integrity of the game.
What's he doing?
What's he talking about?
I don't know. It's based on what happens in stadiums.
Stadiums?
I don't know.
Is it pumping crowd noise?
Is it a dress policy?
No, it's got to be something. I'm guessing like something to do with a challenge or something.
It didn't fall in my favor today, such as life.
Like, didn't go his way. Stadiums.
It's nothing to do with the...
I think, like, going over to the booth in a stadium, they got to look at the thing.
You were closer before. You should have left it alone. Challenging the PI call.
Okay.
So it's a challenge.
Yeah.
What the hell's it got to do with stadiums? Wait, different stadiums.
A challenge.
I get why you would say stadiums. That has something to do with the stadium.
Does it?
There's someone up... Well, yeah. There's someone upstairs.
It could be the operation.
Not knowing what it's about.
Yeah, let's do it again. Now I know what he's talking about.
My position doesn't change based on what happens in stadiums here moving forward. We made the right decision. We did the things that we needed to do to preserve the integrity of the game, to safeguard the game in the appropriate ways. It didn't fall in my favor today, such as life.
No, yeah, I don't get that middle part about preserving the integrity of the game.
It's still the same word.
Safeguarding.
It's such as.
I know what's in it doesn't mean it's not word
soup. With all due respect. Mr. Dennett. Ricky, just because you say with all due respect doesn't mean you can just say anything.
And such as.
And such as.
Oh, he's a peach.
Preserve the integrity of the game
to
safeguard the game in appropriate ways.
All right, let's...
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
We need to safeguard the game.
Let's go to the Patriots Radio Network here. Bob Soucy.
Yes.
Talking about Justin Tucker with Mark Bertrand. And Chris Gasper. This was from the pregame show.
And he just drilled a line drive from 65 yards out, and it made it with several yards to spare.
All right, then.
I don't know if you've ever seen any of the profiles of him or heard him. He's quite the opera tenor. He's very, very gifted voice,
right?
Justin Tucker, absolutely.
Only you would know that.
That is excellent research.
So see, yeah. Is there anything I'm you don't know, Bob?
Chris, I'm surprised that Chris doesn't know that.
Do you hear what me? Do you hear me in the background?
Here's, yeah. Here's
I heard
my
him rambling, rambling off his need stats. I was dying laughing in the background. Let's replay it again.
Here's my only critique is when he says
he's quite the opera tenor.
You're either an opera tenor or you're not. Now you can be quite the singer, and that would, you know,
or quite the artist,
speak to the degree of your accomplishment. But it's like saying, yeah, he's quite the
artist,
sub 2 hour, 5 minute marathon runner. Well, okay, well, you could just say he's a sub 2 hour.
He's a 2 hour, 5 minute marathon
yeah,
runner.
That's, yeah, that explains
that
it.
That explains it.
Now you can say he's quite the runner. He ran a marathon in less than 2:05. Oh,
wow.
Oh,
okay then.
Unbelievable, but to phrase it as him being quite
he's quite the opera tenor.
It's not one of these crappy opera tenors.
I need to now hear actually, Justin Tucker
he can bust it
doing opera. I need that.
It's very
is?
Very gifted voice.
Here's Oak laughing in the background of the booth.
He is.
It's very is? Very gifted
is that
voice.
Right?
Justin Tucker, absolutely,
absolutely. Yes. Only you would know that.
Yes, yes. All right, finally here, Bill Belichick picked up by a sideline mic during the game.
Oh, boy.
That's a good one.
Bill Belichick is down at the 15-yard line on the far side of the field in the ear of an official.
The best is Zoe laughing after it.
In the ear of an official.
Tackled the
first and 15.
He tackled the effing guy. He wants a holding call, I think, on that side.
We are past the 11 o'clock hour.
Good
so.
Job, Chuck. That Chuck down there? That Mikey? Both of them. Good job. Turn
again,
up those
are
mics.
Chuck and Mike who hold the microphones for us on the sidelines.
You know, far be it from Zoe to let a fleeting expletive just go on the airways without drawing extra attention to it.
He tackled the effing guy.
There's nothing subtle about Zoe.
That was the best. That's the best one I've heard in 7 years, man. 10 years doing it, yeah?
It was a good one.
He wants a holding call, I think, on that side.
We are past the 11 o'clock hours.
I thought it was 10 o'clock, and actually, I think our company doesn't recognize Safe Harbor.
Well, it was really after midnight. Think about it.
Our old one did not.
Well,
there is no safe harbor. You
that old company also made us go through sexual harassment training. How did that work out for them?
What?
I know you don't like that.
How dare you?
Last night, Big Jim and I were making the case that we think when we do the late night post game that we should be allowed to just open it up and let.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.